this is just something from my heart. And, one last time, if you want to raise your Bibles. This is my Bible. Jan, quit crying. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. Ada. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. This is something that's so simple, but you know, how many had just realized sometimes God made just loving Him and living life so simple, and we can make it so complex. Have you ever noticed that? We can just make life, I don't know how we do it, we can just stress over nothing, we can stress over everything, and we just make life complex. We make life stressful. And God said, when Jesus came, He said, listen church, He said, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it what? More abundantly. Does that sound like a stressful way to live? It's not, is it? So you know, just stop it. Stop stressing out. And He made it so simple. And He said, you know, there's a couple of things. And He said, everything that I've taught you, everything the prophets have taught you, everything that's in this book, the law, everything that you read, and everything hangs. It's like a pendulum. It's suspended on these two things. And He made it really easy. And actually, there's three in there. If you miss the third one, sometimes that's why you stress and I stress. But there's three things He said in this passage. And this is at the top of my list. That's why we, in our mission statement, we say, you know, to faithfully, or to model Christ's love. You know, that's the top. To model Christ's love and then faithfully communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ and help each prayer of faith member discover and utilize their gifts. Church is easy. We make it hard. Life is easy. We make it difficult. So let me just remind you today of what Jesus said in Matthew 22 and verse 37. You shall, Jesus said to him, Jesus says to prayer of faith today, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In other words, everything that makes up who you are. You know, your heart, your feelings, you know, give your feelings to Jesus Christ. Give your thoughts to Jesus Christ and your soul, the core of your being and your mind, your intellect, everything that you are, give it to Jesus Christ. And it's a good life. And if you keep that in order, the first priority of your life is always God first. And sometimes it's hard because we're busy people, aren't we? We're just so busy, but you know, on the way to work and the way home and during your break, you know, have a talk with God and tell Him how much you love Him, and that's how He sees you and I. If you want to know what it is to love God, He made it real simple. He said, you know what, you love me. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. So best that you can, and your obedience and my obedience and what it looks like may be a little bit different, and I've learned that that's okay. That's okay. You're at a level, I'm at a level, everybody's at a different level, but we're all, how many knows we're all in it together? Satan is the accuser of the brother. We're here to edify one another and love God and glorify His name. And so just, you know, wherever you are, to say, this is how I interpret, this is how I see the, believe with all my being, that this is what God, this is how I love God, as I'm obeying the commandments. And then Enoch, remember we just finished the faith series, and Enoch was faith by relationship, and he showed us how to live by relationship and fellowship. And God just took him one day. He was so close to the Lord. And so if you want to love God, he says, really, it's easy. Obey my commandments and then have fellowship and relationship with me. How many knows God wants to have relationship with you? He really desires to have relationship with you. And he says, if you will do that, if you'll just have relationship with me, in Proverbs 3, 1 and 2, he said, you know what the fruit of that is? He said, if you don't forget the law and you keep his commandments, there's length of days, there's long life, and there's peace that will be added to you. Now that's a great payoff, isn't it? By just being obedient. You know, everything we do is that God wants us to do according to his word is for our benefit. How many realizes when he said to love your enemies, it's for your benefit? It's not for your enemies' benefit. It's to free you. And so you will be free. Too many of you, your enemies hold you in a captive cage in your mind. And every time you're around them, you change. And they have control over you because when you're in the same room with them, you change. They change you. And God said, that shouldn't be. If you put me first and keep my commandments and love your enemies and love those that spitefully use you, he said, you won't have that problem. You know, the mind and the hate and the grudge, and it's a love issue. Love God. All your heart, mind, strength, and soul. And here's the great part about that. When you love God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and you're having a difficult time, how many of those are difficult people on the planet? Probably some of you are the difficult people on the planet. How many seated next to them and you know it? There's one couple, both of them raised their hand. Well, at least you know who you are, right? So they're just going to be difficult people, but they shouldn't be able to change who you are. And he says, you know, just that's the fruit of it. My grandmother lived to be 102 years old. You know what her breakfast was most mornings? Sausage, fried eggs, and biscuits. You know why she died at 102? Because she loved God and she tried to keep His commandments. And she, every time you go to her house, she had the gospel channel on. And I mean, she tried with all of her heart to live the commandments and live for God. And she was a matriarch to us and an example of going to church and serving God at Dahlberg Missionary Baptist Church that was never ran probably over 40. But they were there. My grandfather was an elder. And I remember in that little Missionary Baptist Church, once in a while as a kid, my granddad, when the preaching was be going on, and he'll say, amen. I thought, ooh, he said something in church. It's a move of God. That was the move of God in our church. Well, my granddad would growl out, thank the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, just. But you know what? They were there. And length of days. You know why she died? She decided it was time to go home and she stopped eating. I was there when they brought her from the hospital. They said, there's nothing wrong with her. She just won't eat. And she said, I'm done. I'm tired. I'm going home. And when we were at Norm at the hospital, I remember the little caregiver came out and she said, Rosa, you have to eat now. And we'd already cleared that. She don't have to eat. They just have to present the food to her. And she was going to persuade my grandmother of 102 to eat. And she said, Rosa, you have to eat. And my grandmother said, nah. And she said, nah, the little girl sticks some mashed potatoes in her mouth. Which she learned is not a good thing at 102 because she wore them out of the room all over her. My grandmother spit them right back on her. She said, you know, and she was kind of feeble. And so that was her way of saying, I told you no, you know. But 102. And you know, you can have length of days, long life and peace if you just fall in love with God and keep His commandments. That's pretty good payout. And then he says, love one another. Love one another. Can I just be honest with you? This is where I think the church needs to grow. I think we need to grow more in loving one another and being a lot less judgmental of one another. When the Buddhists came next door, there was a lot of eyebrows raised. And then my wife did one of her papers for her degree when, you know, she had to do her final paper, and she did it on the Buddhists or one of her papers on the Buddhists. And we went up and talked to the nuns, and they were just great people. And you know, they don't believe like we do. They don't believe like we do. But I thought, you know, God just said, you know, that's your neighbor. You need to love the Buddhists. And then I can remember telling some of my friends, it's really, they're leading their denomination and leading their colleges and stuff. And we were sitting at a table and I was talking about how beautiful the buildings are. And all they could come up with was complaints. Yeah, but their doctrine and their, you know, all they could pick out is what was wrong with them. And I thought, that's the way I used to be. And I don't want to be that way anymore. I want to see the beauty in the people around you, whatever they are, wherever they're at, and connect with them. That's what the power of Jesus Christ was, to go around connecting with people. That's why He always drew a crowd, regardless of what they believed. He didn't judge them. He loved them right where they were. And they came to Him. And if you want people to come, just keep on loving people. And stop judging. I'm now in Ada, Oklahoma, and I've had one meeting with a Buddhist and his team. They're having trouble connecting. with a bunch of golfers down at a casino, at the golf academy. And they said, could you help us? And I said, well, sure, I'll help you. I said, just don't put my name on your material. But I will help them because the material, for the most part, is good. And then they've got some New Age stuff and things in there that I don't want to be associated with. But I'm going to help them connect with someone because they asked for help. And I'm going to love them right where they are. Got another lady that, you know, she lives a different lifestyle that's connected with me and trying to her best to get me into a place that that needs leadership and coaching and you know, we just become friends and we talk. And listen, I think we cut ourselves off, we cut ourselves short because we want to judge instead of love. Are you with me? We want to judge people. They're not like us. They're not interdenominational. They're not Pentecostal, or they're not Baptist, or whatever it is that, you know, they're not like us. And so our first inkling is to judge instead of love. And God says, love one another. In fact, one of my favorite verses in the whole scripture is John, where he says, you know what? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That's one of my favorite verses. He didn't say if you have correct doctrine, if you have the correct name over your denomination, or you have this correct, this big degree, or you're a scholar. He didn't say, he said if you love one another, that's how they'll know you're a Christ follower. And I've made it very clear, all these tables where I'm connecting with people that want part of my ability to lead and teach and coach, I've made it very clear where I'm a Christ follower. That's who I am. But don't judge who they are. Love them and help them. Right where they are. Love them. Love one another. He said everything. This is the first great commandment, is love God. Is like it. You to love your neighbor. And then he puts the third thing in there. As yourself. Don't forget to love yourself. Some of you have no problem with that. You need to love yourself a little bit less. So I say that with a reservation. But I'm telling you, some of you, you need to learn to love yourself more. In my set of core values, which is faith, family, friends, fitness, and fun. That's easy for me to remember. But I run on those every week, every day. I'm running on those. And I'm going to have fun somewhere in my day. If fun offends you, you don't want to hang around me because I'm going to have fun. Ask Jeff. We've been all over the world and I just have fun wherever I am. We was in Dominican one time and I'll never forget. I was telling the story about Caden. He wanted some ice cream. He lays his head down on the table and he's whining. And I said, well, if you had faith, you might get some ice cream. He said, I have faith. I said, you don't sound like you have faith. I said, come on. Say, I have faith for ice cream. He said, I have faith for ice cream. That's weak. You'll never get ice cream that way. I said, just say, I believe. He said, I believe. I said, no, I believe. And so we had him just pounding the table, and I believe. And I told that story. We were in Dominican doing some training on the Holy Spirit. And after I got through teaching, one of the young person said, Pastor, I believe. I said, well, come on, we'll go get some ice cream. And about four or five of them came with me, and we ran up the hill and to get ice cream. And we got up there, and they had no ice cream. Now, you can't run to Walmart in Dominican. But if you got enough faith, you can get ice cream. If you don't love your neighbor and connect with them and have fun. And so we was having fun with it, and I looked at the cook, and I said, how much is ice cream, and would you go to the store and get us some ice cream I think it's for lunch. This was between breakfast and lunch, and he said, sure. And so he ran and got us some ice cream, and I told all the ones that ran up the hill, and I said, we're all sitting at the same table, and they're going to bring ice cream to our table. And they did. And all the people sitting around, we're having fun. All the people sitting around, and they're looking, and because one of them said, where's your ice cream? You know, when we walk back down the hill, we're like, here's the ice cream. And so one of them came over with their bowl and said, can I have some ice cream? I said, nope. And they walked back to their table. And another one came up and said, can I have some ice cream? I looked at them and they said, I believe. I said, you can have ice cream. And the other one runs over, I believe. Now that's, you know, that connects. It connects faith, part of my values, with fun. That's who I am. And you run on your values every day, but in running, don't forget to love yourself. Have some fun. Have life and have it more, but love your neighbor. And this is the way I look at it. However you see that you should be loved, that's the way you need to love your neighbor, regardless of the sign over their door, their race, their creed, their color, whatever it may be. You need to love them like that, and you will enjoy abundant life that Jesus promised. That's part of what He promised us, and so we need to live it. Now turn with me to Proverbs real quickly. I want to show you something. And this is probably more for me and Jan Murray than the rest of you. And me and Jan Murray, you know, when we did the gifts assessment years ago, and by the way, that gifts assessment is a great tool. If you haven't used that, you need to use it. They give classes as often as needed. But here's something that I think goes along with loving people where they are, and it's Proverbs 3:3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And there's two things in there, I'll talk about both of them. But the first one is mercy. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And watch this. Here's the fruit. Remember the fruit of loving God? Length of days, long life, and peace. Here's the fruit of operating in mercy that's bigger than you. Mercy that's beyond you. You wouldn't give this much mercy if it was just you. And so Jan and I, we tapped out low in mercy. I was out of 16, I was 2. What was your score? You remember? Oh, you moved up to 6. Well, that means, so 8 is halfway there, so you got a long ways to go, baby. I haven't retaken it, so I don't know. But, I think mine would be much higher today. You know why? Because I'm trying to practice mercy with intent. Listen to me. Practice mercy with intent. In other words, I'm trying to filter all that judgmental stuff that I've had about you're not like me and I need to change you and I've got a word for you. To saying, you know what, you're not like me, and I'm not all-knowing, and how can I help you? Big difference, church. Big difference. He said, write them on the tablet of your heart. And here's the fruit. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God, which is awesome, and man. I think that's why God is connecting me with these different business people and leadership areas that, you know, that I want to work in. Not this Friday, but next Friday, I'm going to go do a motivational speech for 70 school teachers. Why? Because that's what I want to do, and that's what I want to, that's what my gifts mix are, and so that, I'm going to operate in that until Jesus comes, and God is connecting me, and I think part of it is because I've got my mercy gift, it's working better. Pray for me. It's not there, but it's working better, and I'm connecting, and I'm more interested in how can I help you than how can I judge you. How can I fix you? We want to fix people so they're holy as us, right? And so I'm just going to go love on them, and they want a motivational. I'm going to motivate them for an hour, hour and a half. Just, and you know why I think I got the gig is because God has shown me favor in His sight and with man. It's a good life, isn't it? It's a good life. So, give away more mercy than you think you should. Here's something else that I think. Turn with me to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. This is one of the most powerful things, I think. I think in the business world, I'm learning, you know, as I'm making connections and having a meeting with the business sector, people are afraid to say this truth. Have you noticed that? People are just afraid to speak the truth. And that's why one of the coaches down there, one of the consultants, trying very hard to get me in with some of their top executives. She said, because you just tell the truth, don't you? And I said, yeah, you have to. How many knows truth? You what? Set you free. Guess what? It'll set the business world free too. It will. And it'll create a safe environment. if you'll just lay it out there and I love it because it says in Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in what? Love. Speaking the truth in love. As a parent, as a relative, as a church family, in the business world, wherever you are, that is one of the most powerful tools I think God ever gave us, is to speak the truth in love. And you see it everywhere you go, in churches, denominations, businesses, that there's always that elephant in the room and nobody wants to bring it up because it might rock the boat. I think there's a lot of churches, a lot of families, a lot of businesses that they need their boat rocked to get free. Speak the truth in love. Can I leave you with something here? To one another as a church family, speak the truth in love. And how many know sometimes it's so hard to speak the truth? It is. My sister said the other day, she said, I want to get to where I can speak the truth kind of like you do. And here, it's a simple example, but one of my neighbors, and I'm not sure which one, I had an inkling which one it was. He's very helpful, but he kept putting my paper, taking it out of my drive and putting it on my porch. And I'm a visual guy, and if I don't see my paper, I may not think of it. And I have two or three little papers there. I thought, oh, my paper, the aid of paper is small. It doesn't take you long, so I left a little note where it was. I said, please leave my paper in the drive. My little helpful, it just didn't work for me. And some of you would just fret over that and say, oh, I wish you'd leave my paper alone. And you just fret over your paper because you don't want to rock the stinking boat. Well, he was rocking my boat every day. Leave the paper alone. And so I love on him. And, I hosted a meeting, a homeowners meeting the other day, and we'd never had one. And we hosted it because we've led several and had to help our builder. He had never been in one. He owns the addition, but it's good. We loved on the neighbors and just to let them know, we're still good. I just don't want you messing with my paper. There's all kinds of people in your life. You just don't want to mess them with something. Tell them in love. It's so freeing. I was doing a little coaching the other day and Lisa says, I got a rich friend and she wears this cologne and it just kills me. What should I do? I said, tell her it kills me. I said, what would you want her to do if it was you? Well, I want her to tell me. I talked to her the other day. I said, well, did you tell your friend after she got back from vacation? And she said, no, that's my problem. It's not hers. A very successful businesswoman. I'm telling you, it's hard to speak the truth sometimes. I said, make it about you. Say, I'm sorry, this is about me. It's not you. That's great perfume, but it really just, whatever it does to you, just tell her. I said, all you can do is know if she's your real friend or not. Somebody told you, your perfume's killing me. She's a real friend. What are you going to do? She says, well, I'd change or I wouldn't wear it around. I said, well, there you go. We make life so complicated, don't we? And it's easy. Speak the truth in love. I like what one man said. The truth will set you free, but it may aggravate the fire out of you before it does. So there you go. There you go. Now, I think that's what Jesus did every day. If you look at his life, I think most every day he just walked around speaking the truth. And then he threw in a few parables just to mix it up and make it fun. To see where you're at. He was a great communicator. If you want to see how to speak the truth in love, just study Jesus' life. And I'm telling you, church is no different. I've been in board meetings and church functions, and this speaking the truth in love thing is just as foreign in the church as it is in the business world. In their little petty meetings and sat there with ought and things. It's ridiculous. And I just pray for us as church leaders and coaches and trainers, to just help set us all free from that kind of stuff. That we can't love one another right where we are with just a pure heart and pure motives and speak the truth in love. And my last little point here, we're in Ephesians 4. Look in verse 16. from whom the whole body, after you're speaking the truth in love, he says, you know, from whom the whole body, everybody say the whole body. You know what the whole body means? That means every person in the kingdom of God. Every person in the kingdom of God. From the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint, every one of you in this room supplies something to the church and to the kingdom of God that no one else supplies. Isn't that awesome? To know that you supply something to the kingdom of God that no one else can provide. Now here's the sad fact. Some of you are not connected and your joint is out of whack. Are you with me? I told you truth sets free, but it might aggravate the fire out of you. So if you're a church hopper, a church, you know, you go on occasion and what? Well, the church is out of whack without you being your part. Because every joint supplies something according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every part does its share, which causes growth of the body of the edifying of itself in love. So without you supplying your part and doing your part, the church will never reach its full potential in love and reach its full potential where God ordained it to be. We'll do our best without you, but your part is necessary. I'm so glad that Adam Dilley said yes, aren't you? We'd have to be doing a search right now. And for some of you, I thought, you know, for some of you that's just been wanting me to wear a tie for years, you're getting the preacher with a tie now. Thank you, Jesus. In fact, my superintendent prefers that I wear a tie. I just don't care. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'm so holy, I probably give all my tithe money that I would spend on them to charity. I'm sure that's what it is. I am absolutely, absolutely amazed. And I say this with all sincerity and I am absolutely amazed at the talent God places in the local church. That's why I wrote the book, The Power and the Purpose of the Average Church. Because I'm telling you, you know, sometimes we get hit because we're not growing or we're not doing. And you know, and I thought, you know what? Sometimes our leaders need to step back and say, you know what? Tell me about somebody in your church. You know, how can you replace Bob and Gina Gall and say that's not important? You know, we was riding our motorcycles around. They started riding motorcycles with us and came. And Bob gave his heart, just sold out to Jesus and Gina and got married and then here come their kids and their grandkids now raised in the house of God. How about, you know, and like the Dillies, if we hadn't been here and hadn't been loving and nurturing, I'm going to tell you, disciple making takes a long time, church. And that's what I think our leaders have forgot, that you know what? It's a hard job raising disciples. Jesus had 12 and he said, I don't want any more. 12's fine. Thank you very much. How many knows he could have had a Bible college? He could have had whatever he wanted. But he took 12 and then he just went out and loved people where they were. And by the way, if you read the book, you know, there's four personalities and there's pretty present in the church today. And there's still doubters in the church. Bless your heart. You can't help it. Every time we talk about spending money or doing something, well, you can tell us why we're not going to make it. Well, not a good idea, but we'll love you anyway. Jesus never took the doubt out of Thomas. And I mean, knows you just won't take the doubt out of some people. You just don't invite them to the meetings. Just don't invite them to the meetings because they're going to tell you why you can't make it. You know, and then there's the people that's going to, over the 26 years plus that we've been here, we've had a Judas or two or three in our congregation that has to split us up and took our money and you know, and so we learned some things and we hated it. But you know what? Judas is still in the church. So the odds are, if you got 24, you got two Judas and two doubters. Jesus said 12's plenty. You know, just keep it down to one and one. Then you have the Peter. You know, ready, fire, aim. How many? Come on, how many Peters we have? I'm one. Yeah, yeah. I'll start a little venture. My wife say, I just feel like you don't have enough information. I said, I don't. I'm ready to go, though. We'll get information as we're driving. Let's take off. So I am just like Peter, you know. Can I tell you something? The hardest part of this transition, I knew what I wanted to do. I thought, I want to restore homes and I want to restore people and help people get where they are. Really healthy people. I'm not a counselor. I don't do well with counseling. But to help people that are just stuck, and that's what I want to coach and train some executives and teachers and things, because these are professional people. They're not ill. They just need motivation. They need a plan to get from where they are to where they want to go. And I want to help them. And God's given me the ability to do that. So that's what I want to do. That's my part. And let me tell you something. Your part in the kingdom is just as important. I don't know about you, but if I came in every Sunday and nobody ever cleaned the toilets, I don't know how many times I'd come back. If the carpets never got vacuumed, can you imagine? Look at our beautiful garden. If our garden nobody ever worked it, and it's just weeds and, you know, it looked like people. Can you imagine? And so I'm thankful for all the whole body. And we teach that and preach that here, that, you know what, if you're a cook, that's your sermon. Don't burn your sermon. Feed something worth eating, you know. Because how many knows it's easy just to slop something together, but we have a cook that cares. In fact, I plan to come back every Meatloaf Wednesday. That is one good sermon, I'm telling you. And I thought, as I was just preparing, I thought, man, we have preachers and teachers and greeters and ushers and intercessors and singers and praisers and musicians and bookkeepers. Thank God for bookkeepers. I have never kept a book from our church. Never. I'm not a good bookkeeper. Now, I keep stuff in my head, and I don't balance my checkbook like I should, but I don't bounce checks. But I don't want to do that for the church. How many says, that's a good deal, Pastor. Thank you very much. I hate clerical work. I hate clerical work. The Chickasaws called me in one day for an interview, and they said, it had something to do with leadership. And I said, tell me about the leadership part, and then I'll tell you if I'm interested. And they said, you know what the leadership part was? The leadership part was to go around talking to schools about a food program. That was leadership. And the rest was clerical stuff. And I said, well, I'm not interested. Thank you very much. That's not me. You know. Because I don't do that. I don't do that. I'm not a bookkeeper. Thank God for bookkeepers. Mark's a great bookkeeper. He's a great treasurer. He has vision. He has foresight and thought. I really recommend that our board listen very intently to this man. Because sometimes we run a tight budget. But he always is, he got everything paid. And, you know, and for your part, maintenance, how many is glad we got air conditioning today? Philip and others, lawn care, the lawn care, gardeners, our technicians in the back, the sound engineers. it takes all kinds, doesn't it? And I thank God for all the professional people in our church. Years ago, how many was here when I had some dog issues? My neighbor, I didn't know my neighbor because I knew none of my neighbors. They were on the backside of the east end of the 160 acres that we had, and they lived in the timber, and I never met any of them because I never drove around that way. But some of their dogs tried to kill one of my calves, and so I caught them out one day, and I sent them home to be with Jesus. And the police came out and arrested me for shooting their dogs. Guess who God put in our congregation? A lawyer. Guess what I needed that day? A lawyer. Guess where he used to be assistant DA? In Norman, where I shot the dog. And I got up that morning, I told the church, I went to jail last night, I got arrested, I was booked. I posted bond and I got out. I'm here preaching today just to let you know. In case it comes out, it's not a rumor. It are true. And so anyway, he says, Jack, he said, I know the guys at Norman. He said, I used to be the assistant DA. He said, you have a right to protect your property. It doesn't matter when they came on your property. And you know that was the dogs that tried to kill your calf. You come down to my office in Oklahoma City tomorrow, and we'll get it taken. I drove down, He set up, made a phone call, came back in, said, "You're free to go." I thought, thank you, Lord, for professional people in the congregation. We've had others that come by and just make biennial deposits, give more than most everybody in the congregation, that come by and visit twice. Thank you, Lord, for occasional visitors. See, don't be critical. Don't be critical. These are all people that God put in, organizers. Cindy Dilly is misorganization. You know what my wife said? I'm going to tell on her. It embarrassed the heck out of her. She said on the way up here, she said, "Are we going to help clean up today? We don't have to." You already told somebody else that. Remember what my core value is? She lives with me. Fun! We're just having fun. We'll help clean up. We have to now, don't we, golly? But we have organizers and cooks and givers, professional people. We have ministers of helps, ministers of service, evangelists, missionaries, artists. Thank God for all the artists that we have, the creative individuals that make everything look good. How many knows that all this rock and stuff and back there, that came from your new senior pastor today, Adam Dilly. And you know, when he first presented that to the board, most of the board said, "I like it the way it is." And I said, "Well, let's give the guy a chance." I said, "If we can build it for under this amount of money, would everybody be on board with that?" They said, "Yeah, we could." So me and Mark came up and built the frame and stuff and put the rock on. But doesn't that look nice? See, you know the screen up here and those little things that move around during praise? Remember our little computer geek, Andrew Bellflower, our computer tech. Did I say geek? Yeah, I meant tech. He came to us one day in a board meeting. He says, "Listen, I got this thing, and here's the budget, and here's what I want, and here's what..." He said, "But you have to come..." And he pulled us out of the board meeting or boardroom, and he brought us in here, and he showed us what it was. And I had just went to a conference, you know, and he said, you know, "Today we're visual, and the little ticker's running across the bottom of the news, you know, that's all... People are more visual, and they like two or three things going to keep their attention." And I had just been to one of those that said that. And so we're looking at that, and we're looking at that, and he says, "Can we have that?" And I said... Everybody's like, and it's several hundred dollars. And I said, "Let me tell you what, I just came back from a conference. This is what they said." And I said, "Don't you love that? I love that now. I do, I love that. All that moving around and, you know, stuff. They keep it, but you know what? We have to let them be creative. Don't just cut, you know, it's if it's just your preference, just let them be creative. That's their part. People get on to the Copelands and the Hagens or Joel Osteen, or, you know, they're just positive or they're all this or that. That's their part. Leave them alone. Let Satan criticize the body. You help their creativity. You help them. You endorse them because they're Bible preaching brothers and sisters in Christ. Be an encourager. How many knows we need each other? And the creative people and the deep people that are different. And we have the caregivers. Thank God for caregivers. You that have a shepherd's heart. And you just love us and right where we are. And you, when we're hurting, you call and you come. And the mercy givers like Miss Jerry Nicely that has been here. And her mercy is just off the chart. But he does that for people like me to balance us out. And she has a lot, you know, I hesitate telling her some things because I know it's just going to go to her heart. And he says, "You that have mercy, practice that gift with cheerfulness." You know why? Because you can get so stressed and so loaded down with that gift. But let's appreciate each other. And I'm amazed at the talent that is in the local church. And here's what I'm amazed at as well, is how willing you are to use your gifts. That's beautiful. You willing to get up and use your gifts for the glory of God is beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing. I never thought I'd see John Bomsberger, my longtime friend. He came to work for me years ago when I was a masonry contract. He's just a kid. Never thought you'd be in there teaching children's church. Did you think that? And then he brought all of his little grandkids today, and they're all dressed up in suits and stuff. They said, "We want to just dress up for your last day." Wow. And for you that have given your talents and your abilities so undyingly, year after year after year, it's all recorded. It's in the book of life. And someday you're going to be amazed at your mansion and what God is going to give to you. And some of you that's been lack and slack, and you haven't, it's not too late. You're still breathing. Use what you have for the glory of God. So when we get to heaven, we'll have a big old crown that we can cast at the feet of Jesus Christ. You don't want to have a little old bitty crown because you just wasted your life on you. There's no fulfillment or significance in spending all your life and time invested in yourself. It, you know, that's what people that commit suicide and are depressed and all that stuff, it's because they're inward. They're not focused outward. They don't give anything away. Give something away. Use your talents and gifts for the glory of God. It's amazing. This is the body of Christ. And there's thousands and thousands of churches all over the world that God has put together. People that use their talents and gifts and ability, and it's the most amazing entity on the planet. It's the church that Jesus Christ is coming back for, and you're a part of it. And great is going to be your reward. Use what you've got for the kingdom of God. Let's pray, and then we're going to have an ordination service. Father, thank you for 26 great years, 26 years. There's been stressful times, but you've always been there. There's been glorious times, and you were there. There's been seed time and harvest, and you were always there. Thank you for always being here. Thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful, blessed people that have just invested in me and Jana and our family and in prayer faith with all their talents, organizing things, copying things, cleaning things, cooking things, just giving their talents away for every one of them today that has in the past and still are doing it today to make this church light in this community. Thank you for them. Help us love people where they are. Help us to love you continually. Help us, God, to operate in mercy. Help us to operate in truth, and help us to do it in the area of strengths and gifts that you've created us to operate in. And until you come, Lord, help us to be faithful servants in all that you've said. Amen.